Good morning and welcome to this service for Sunday the 9th of August. It's a joy to have you with us. At the introit to this service we share the first six verses of Psalm 105, the psalm for today. Give thanks to the Lord, call on his name, make known among the nations what he has done. Sing to him, sing praise to him, tell of all his wonderful acts. Glory in his name, let the hearts of those who seek the Lord rejoice. Look to the Lord and his strength, seek his face always. Remember the wonders he has done, his miracles, and the judgments he pronounced. The descendants of Abraham, his servant, O sons of Jacob's, his chosen ones. Amen. We sing our opening hymn, number 75, from Rejoice and Sing. Sing praise to God who reigns above, the God of all creation. Hymn 7-5. Lord Jesus Christ, we come to you this morning. We come to you as your people. Receive us in your love. And though we are physically separate, bind us as we worship you virtually, to you and to each other this morning. Hear our prayers. Eternal God and Father, you are the source of all life, the fount of all wisdom, the wellspring of all grace. Your days are without end, your loving mercy without number. We depend on you, and we remember your goodness to us, and to those who have gone before us. We thank you for your story in every generation. God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. God of Sarah, Rebecca, and Rachel. God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, God of a pilgrim people, your church. You are our God, ahead of us, leading, guiding us, and calling us. You are the Lord God, the all-wise and all-compassionate. To you we lift up our hearts, and we worship you, one God, for ever and ever. Amen. So we come. We confess that we have rebelled against you and broken your law of love. We haven't loved our neighbours, nor heard the cry of the needy. Forgive us. Forgive us, we pray, and free us for joyful obedience. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. So hear the gracious words of our Lord Jesus Christ. Your sins are forgiven you as you repent. You come and receive my grace. Amen. Now we share that prayer, the family prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. Amen. Our readings today from the Revised Common Lectionary start with our reading from the book of Genesis, chapter 37, and the first four verses, and then reading from verse 12. Jacob lived in the land where his father had stayed, the land of Canaan. This is the account of Jacob. Joseph, a young man of 17, was tending the flocks with his brothers, the sons of Bilhah and the sons of Zilpah, his father's wives. And he brought their father a bad report about them. Now, Israel loved Joseph more than any of his other sons, because he had been born to him in his old age. and he made a richly ornated robe for him. When his brothers saw that their father loved him more than any of them, they hated him and could not speak a kind word to him. And then to verse 12. Now his brothers had gone to graze their father's flocks near Shechem. And Israel said to Joseph, "As you know, your brothers are grazing the flocks near Shechem. Come, I'm going to send you to them." "Very well," he replied. So he said to him, "Go and see if all is well with your brothers and the flocks, and bring me back word." Then he sent him off from the valley of the Hebron. When Joseph arrived at Shechem, a man found him wandering around in the fields and asked him, "What are you looking for?" He replied, "I'm looking for my brothers. Can you tell me where they're grazing their flocks?" "They moved on from here," the man answered. "I heard them say, 'Let's go to Dothan.'" So Joseph went after his brothers and found them near Dothan. But they saw him in the distance, and before he reached them, they plotted to kill him. "Here comes that dreamer," they said to each other. "Come now, let's kill him and throw him into one of these cisterns and say that a ferocious animal devoured him. Then we'll see what comes of his dreams." When Reuben heard this, he tried to rescue him from their hands. "Let's not take his life," he said. "Don't shed any blood. Throw him into this cistern here in the desert, but don't lay a hand on him." Reuben said this to rescue him from them and to take him back to his father. So when Joseph came to his brothers, they stripped him of his robe, the richly ornamented robe he was wearing, and they took him and threw him into the cistern. Now, the cistern was empty. There was no water in it. As they sat down to eat their meal, they looked up and saw a caravan of Ishmaelites coming from Gilead. Their camels were loaded with spices, balm and myrrh, and they were on their way to take them down to Egypt. Judah said to his brothers, "What will we gain if we kill our brother and cover up his blood? Come, let's sell him to the Ishmaelites and not lay our hands on him. After all, he is our brother, our own flesh and blood." His brothers agreed. So when the Midianite merchants came by, his brothers pulled Joseph up out of the cistern and sold him for 20 shekels of silver to the Ishmaelites, who took him to Egypt. Amen. The second reading comes from Paul's letter to the Church at Rome, and we start to read at verse 5 of chapter 10. Moses describes in this way the righteousness that's by the law. The man who does these things will live by them. But the righteousness that is by faith says, don't say in your heart, who will ascend into heaven? That's to bring Christ down. Or who will descend into the depths? That's to bring Christ up from the dead. But what does it say? The word is near you. It's in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith we are proclaiming. That if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you'll be saved. For it's with your heart that you believe and are justified. And it's with your mouth that you confess and are saved. As the scripture says, anyone who trusts in him will never be put to shame. Well, there's no difference between Jew and Gentile. The same Lord is Lord of all and richly blesses all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. How then can they call on the one they have not believed in? And how can they believe in the one whom they've not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? And how can they preach unless they're sent? As it's written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. Amen. Our third reading comes from Matthew's Gospel, chapter 14, beginning to read at verse 22. Immediately, Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go on ahead of him to the other side, while he dismissed the crowd. After he dismissed them, he went up on a mountain by himself to pray. When evening came, he was there alone. But the boat was already a considerable distance from land, buffeted by the waves because of the wind being against it. During the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went out to them, walking on the lake. When the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified. It's a ghost, they said, and they cried out in fear. Jesus immediately said to them, take courage, it's I. Don't be afraid. Lord, if it's you, Peter replied, tell me to come to you on the water. Come, he said. And then Peter got out of the boat, walked on the water, and came towards Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried out, Lord, save me. Immediately Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. You have little faith, he said. Why did you doubt? And when they climbed into the boat, the wind died down. Then those who were in the boat worshipped him, saying, truly, you are the Son of God. Amen. Amen. May God give us understanding of those words from his Holy Scripture. Amen. We sing number 543 from Rejoice and Sing. Lead us, Heavenly Father, leaders o'er the world's tempestuous sea. Hymn 543. Genesis 37 and 3. Now Israel loved Joseph more than any of his other sons, because he'd been born to him in his old age, and he made an ornate robe for him. When his brothers saw that his father loved him more than any of them, they hated him and couldn't speak a kind word to him. The most northern point of mainland Scotland is John O'Groats. It's named after a Dutchman who founded the town in the 16th century. He got seven brothers who were always quarrelling among themselves. They're rather like Jacob's sons. To solve the problem, he designed an octagonal table, and he put it in an octagonal room in a house with eight entrances. Today's scripture introduces Jacob's favourite son, Joseph. Joseph was the 11th son of Jacob, and the firstborn of Rachel, his favourite wife. Verse 3 makes it plain that Jacob spoiled this young child. He showed favouritism to him, even making him an expensive coat of many colours. Disruptive behaviour seems to be a constant in these patriarchal families, a constant which leads to sin. Remember how Isaac preferred Esau because of his hunting and his home cooking, while his mother Rebecca preferred Jacob for his smooth skin and his quieter nature. Like so many families today, this one failed to learn from past painful mistakes. The favoritism Jacob showed to Joseph created an acute atmosphere of jealousy and anger among the brothers, which led to, as we might have expected, a dysfunctional family. As we meet Joseph in this story, he's still young. He's only 17. Somewhat immature. Yet God had a plan for Joseph's life, in spite of his youthful conceit and his siblings' murderous plots. Matthew 14 and 25. Shortly before dawn, Jesus went out to them walking on the lake. When the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified. "It's a ghost," they said, and they cried out in fear. But Jesus immediately said to them, "Take courage, it's I, don't be afraid." "Lord, if it's you," replied Peter, "tell me to come to you on the water." "Come," he said. And then Peter got down out of the boat, walked on the water, and came toward Jesus. Peter was an impetuous young man. Didn't always get things right, but generally his heart was in the right place. He didn't quite understand what Jesus' messiahship meant. It was he who recognized Jesus as the Son of the Living God. Yet, but moments later, he contradicted his intention to set his face towards Jerusalem. And in doing so, he put himself in the place of Satan. At Jesus' arrest, he had no inkling of the mighty power which was at Jesus' disposal, but which he refused to use against armed servants of the high priest. He had to be told by Jesus to put away his sword, because violence and death are not the answer to hate and justice. He painfully fulfilled Jesus' prophecy of betrayal, and he fled as the cock crowed. Here we see the dichotomy within him. Impetuously he steps from the boat and he begins to walk on the tempest, only to grasp the realization of the peril in which he places himself in as he feels the wind and he sees the height of the waves. Fear grips him. Belief passes from him. He begins to sink. Matthew 14 and 31. Immediately, Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. "You of little faith," he said, "why do you doubt?" Jesus, you see, realizing the potential that lay within this man, he discourages the doubt. And he seeks to enlarge the faith. A pat on the back is only a few vertebrae removed from a kick in the pants, but it's miles ahead in results. For it's a repentant Peter whom Jesus commissions to feed his flock of souls after the resurrection. Those for whom the Messiah died. It's Peter, shedding all fear, who on the day of Pentecost, by the Spirit's power, stands up to be counted and initiates Jesus' mission of love and grace by adding 3,000 souls to the church's number. Romans 10 and 8. But what does it say? "The word is near you. It's in your mouth and in your heart." That is the message concerning faith that we proclaim. If you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, he'll be saved. Saul, that Jew of Jews who studied under the great Gamaliel and who so diligently embarked on ethnic cleansing, yes, ethnic cleansing, to remove Christians whose rebel nature was potentially a corruption for his people. And yet who in that epiphany on the Damascus Road became the great St. Paul, binding Jew and Gentile together in the grace of Christ. Here, in this reading, he invokes the wisdom of the book of the law, Deuteronomy, to initiate a grace that dwells so close to each of us and longs to bring us into the kingdom of Jesus, the kingdom of Jesus' love. My, what a collection of key saints we've experienced in those readings today. Strangely, all three of them initially seemed to be fundamentally unsuited to the task which God had chosen for them. Even as saints, they still remained just that little element of clay feet. Joseph tricked and sought to frighten his brothers when they first came to seek food for the family to Egypt. That is, until his heart was softened by the love he had for them. Peter and Paul, they didn't initially see eye to eye on the question of the Gentiles, as we read in Galatians 2. And in another instance, Paul fell out with his great friend Barnabas over the inclusion of John Mark in their second missionary journey. That's recorded in Acts 15. If we observe more immediate history, I suppose the nether was gathered under one roof, such an assembly of wise and noble Christian people who created the Constitution of the United States, which declared that all people are created and endowed by their Creator with certain inalienable rights. But they abridged their consciences. They abridged their consciences in the presence of 500,000 black people who of course claimed the same rights and were excluded from them. To this day, that wicked wrong struggles to be corrected. It's something with which we, Jesus' church, must ever work to put right. I suppose the lesson is that although we may struggle to find the perfect church, if we find it, then we must be careful not to join it, because if we do, we'll change its perfection. The amazing thing is that in spite of our imperfection, our weakness and our failings, in spite of the brokenness, God's grace continues to grow among the peoples of the world. And indeed, almost in spite of the church, God's will is done on earth and his kingdom will come. For his purpose is never thwarted and his plan moves to its inevitable conclusion. And the wonderful thing is that imperfect as we are, he has a part for each of us to play. Unsure, apprehensive though we may be, Jesus still stretches out his hand and says to each of us, take courage, it's I, don't be afraid. Amen. We are led into our intercessionary prayer by hymn number 103. Praise to the holiest in the height, and in the depth be praised. Hymn 103 from Rejoice and Sing. Loving God, in the name of Jesus Christ, who mediates in our stead before our loving Father, we come with our prayers of intercession. Enable our lips to speak your words of concern, that we might take on the compassion which you have for all people. Grant that our minds may be made more one with you as we pray. We remember, Lord Jesus, that you desire us to speak your truth, to tell those we meet that your word is near. By faith, we possess power in our lips and on the tips of our tongues to speak your good and wonderful news. But so often we find ourselves afraid to step out and proclaim what we believe to be the messages of your word. Yet we know that you're a God of righteousness, faithfulness and giving. So as we gather together in your name, we ask for your help. We've heard your word. Now help us to speak out so that others may also hear. We believed. Now help us to proclaim your good news so that others may see your truth. We've been sent. Help us to respond with righteousness, faithfulness, and enthusiasm. For we bring good news. Good news of salvation for all humanity. Good news that fills the earth with song and with joy. Amen. Father, we remember all those known to us who need your closeness. Make us your angels of mercy. Point us in the direction you would have us move. We give you thanks that so many of your people daily express your gospel in their actions of love to those in need. People within our congregations, our elders, yes, and our ministers too. We thank you for their dedication, and we ask you to bless and strengthen them that they might be the stalwart support of those in need. Lord Jesus, at this time we ask you to bless all those who've been bereaved by the coronavirus or the spin-off from that filling of our hospitals with people suffering from that complaint. To all those who've lost loved ones, we ask that they may know indeed your love through us. In the silence of our caring, they may feel embraced by the community whom you bless. So Lord Jesus, we bring our own needs. You know those things that we very often suffer in silence. You know that there are many needs that we don't perceive we have. Give us the vision to know where those concerns lie. Lord Jesus, we bear up now at prayer by our former General Secretary, that prayer for this particular time. Lord Jesus, in the midst of a storm, you said, "Peace be still." Bid our anxious fears subside. Sustain your church in faith. Sustain it in hope and love. Bring your nation through this tumult. Grant wisdom to those with heavy responsibilities, and healing and hope to those who are infected. Amen. So, Lord Jesus, as we bring our prayers, we seek that we may be in part the answers to those prayers. For we know you answer every prayer. Give us the vision to see where that answer lies, the patience to know that you care and you will grant that which is good in your good time. Lord Jesus, where we fail to see a need, intercede on our behalf. For all our prayers we bring in the name of our living, loving Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. We close our service as we sing hymn number 575, God of Mercy, God of Grace, Show the Brightness of Your Face. Hymn 575 from Rejoice and Sing. God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and on earth is named, grant us to be strengthened with his might by his Spirit in the inner being, that with Christ dwelling in our hearts by faith, we may be filled with all the fullness of God. Amen. Amen.